I'm sure many of us, if not all of us, have an inquisitive side. We're always looking to find out something more. If there's something unusual going on in our street or around our house, perhaps we will go out for a closer look. Maybe call being nosy or inquisitive, whichever way you would like to term it. Or perhaps we're the shyer type and we'll just slip to the side of the curtains and we'll take a little look out through or through the slit in the blind. Our nature causes us to be curious. We're always wanting to know what's going on. We're always looking to see what is new. We see it as we travel up and down the roads to college. We come from Five My Town, myself and David. And as we travel up and down the roads, you would notice that if there is an accident on the motorway, then there's always a queue on the other side as people slow down to see what's going on. We all have different interests. And we're all inquisitive about different things. For me, it is perhaps a classic car, some piece of engineering or new equipment that I haven't seen before. And I'll examine it, I'll take a closer look at it, and I'll perhaps ask questions to satisfy my own curiosity. For others, as I've said, it's to know what's going on in the street. Who's moved into the house down the row, or who's moved out? Who's become a granny? Is there a new child in the area? Whatever the case may be, we are an inquisitive bunch. This evening, I would like to consider the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to these two inquisitive men, which we read of in John chapter 37 through to 39. And there we read in God's word, the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. These verses that we have in John chapter 1 are of great interest. And yet perhaps if we had been penning scripture, we would not have thought it worthy to record the words of these two disciples as they came and followed Jesus. But the Holy Spirit has thought it worthy to record this, and so it is worthy tonight of our examination. And the question that I want to consider is the question, what seek ye? And the Lord's response, come and see. This question, what seek ye, could be asked first of all in the general sense. Surely everything, everyone in society, and probably each one here tonight, we're all looking for something, we're seeking something. We look at society around us. And if I were to go out onto the streets of Belfast tonight and ask the question, what do you seek or what are you looking for? There would be many different responses. But ultimately, they would all have one common goal. Friends, all we have to do is switch on a TV and we see the ads and we get the answer, even in the television ads, for what people are seeking. Because companies will hone in on what people want and so they will advertise accordingly. We see the ads on the television for the National Lottery or some online gambling site. And why? Because many people seek for wealth. We see ads for property businesses. Many in our society reckon if they could move to a better house in a better area, well, that would solve all their problems. Oh, life would be so much easier. Oh, if we could just change. Then we see the ads for foreign holiday or perhaps a new car. And with that comes the caption, escape from it all. And people say to themselves, well, you know, I seek to get away from things just for a while. A change of scenery, it would make so much difference. My life would be so much easier. Oh, it would be like a breath of fresh air. Then we see the ads. We've seen them down through the years. For alcohol on our screens, on our billboards. And we see pictures of people supposedly enjoying themselves. And it's portrayed that happiness is at the bottom of a glass or a bottle. And yet, there is no true happiness there. In more recent days, we are familiar with the pictures and the rise of ads for dating sites, and each one claiming that through this site you can find true love and true happiness. Each person in our society is seeking for something. They want happiness. Surely that is the ultimate end. This is a general answer, but the fine answer is they want happiness. Oh, they want life of enjoyment, life of companionship, something to make life easier, to get away from the mundane of life. And I believe that there are two main issues here: personal contentment and the answers to the questions which press us. Is that not what we all seek tonight? Oh, if the question was answered to each one here tonight, as I shook your hand on the way out through the door, what seek ye? I wonder, what would your answer be? What response would you give me? Would it be like so many others, for happiness, for wealth, for an easier life? Well, the Lord spoke to the two followers. We notice in our passage that he did not rebuke them. No, the Lord turned to these men who were following, and in tenderness and compassion, he asked them, what seek ye? What seek ye? What are you looking for? What can I do for you? The question could have received either a general answer, as may be considered in the reply, for they asked the Lord where he dwelt or where he was staying, or they could have given a more specific answer. When they asked the Lord where he dwelt or he abode, they were actually asking, well, where are you staying? Could we perhaps spend some time with you? Could we learn from you? These two had heard John the Baptist on two consecutive days say, behold, the Lamb of God. These two men were inquisitive at the words of John, behold, the Lamb of God. And so, to learn more, they followed the Lord. They had a desire to know more of him. We see this by the response of the Lord's question to what seek ye. Their answer in verse 38 of chapter 1, we read that they addressed him as Rabbi. And the response shows two distinct acknowledgments. One of great respect for the Lord, for the position of Rabbi was perhaps that of highest honor in Jewish society in that day. And secondly, they acknowledged him for his wisdom and his learning. Do we not read elsewhere in Scripture that no man spake like this? These two men wished to learn more. They wished to have their questions answered. They desired to know more about him and to commune with him. And I wonder tonight, as you sit here in Sandown Free Presbyterian Church, what seek ye? Are you here tonight, perhaps out of routine or ritual? It's the thing to do on a Sunday night. Or we go along to church. That's what we do each week. We go along to church. And yet churches across our land today have been filled with those who attend merely out of a sense of duty. It's the thing to do on a Sunday. Perhaps you're here tonight to satisfy your conscience. It makes you feel like you've pleased God and perhaps helped you to merit happiness and favour for the afterlife. It may be the case that you're here to please someone else. You've been invited along by a friend or a family member, a husband, a wife, a father or a mother. And if left to yourself, you would have no desire to come to the house of God. And yet, praise God, the Spirit of God has drawn you out tonight to this place. Truth be told, you may not be interested in what the preacher has to say at all. And you'll pass the time and go out having pleased the one with whom you came. You may even say anything for a quiet life. But perhaps you, like the Greeks of old, have come and asked the question, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Perhaps you're here to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps the Spirit has even been striving with you in the days and the weeks that have passed. And tonight you're here to hear more from God's Word. Whatever the reason may be, I want to put the question to you again. And I want you to answer it in your heart with all honesty, not to me, but to yourself. What seek ye in Sandown Free Presbyterian Church tonight? Dear friend, I want you to search the deepest caverns of your heart and answer the question, for it is truly a searching question. I cannot tell you what your answer should or ought to be, but rather, I want you to answer the question honestly to yourself. As the Lord asked these men, they gave the reply. And the Lord responded perhaps with the greatest answer possible. I'm sure to their delight and perhaps their surprise, he beckoned them to come and see. Is that not what we read in verse 39? And he saith unto them, come and see. What greater invitation could be given? And so these men followed the Lord. And friends, tonight, the answer to the question, what seek ye, is still the same as it was in the days of our Lord. The answer tonight is still the same for Belfast as it was for these two men as they left where John was baptizing. The answer is still, come and see. Come and see what the Lord has in store for you. Come and see what Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. Come and see the love which he freely offers. Come and see the man of sorrows who bled on Calvary's cross for sinners. The message of the gospel, that is the good news, the teaching or the revelation of Christ, is still the same as it was 2,000 years ago. God sent his only begotten Son to humble himself, being born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger, but taking on the form of a servant. He lived a spotless and a sinful life that he may present himself as the perfect sacrifice for sin on Calvary's cross, not to satisfy divine justice. Oh, his precious blood was poured out there for sinners like you and I. And today it is still the same. The blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Christ died to reconcile us to God. That is, to make a way back to God for sinful man. For we were separated through our sin from God. And of ourselves there was no righteousness, no goodness that could ever merit favor with him. And it is only through Calvary's cross, it is only through that precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by trusting in him, that we can know our sins forgiven. Friends, Christ died on Calvary's cross for sinners like you and I. Oh, tonight, will you not come and see? Many in our society today say that Jesus died so that all will go to heaven. Perhaps that's what you're thinking here tonight. Oh, you take parts of Scripture and you pick and choose what you want, and you say, Christ died on Calvary's cross, and yes, I believe he shed his blood. That's good enough for me. I'll go to heaven someday. But I can live as I like. I can go on in life and do whatever I want. Well, God's word makes it very clear that this is not the case. Do we not read in John 3 and 16 and many other verses that salvation is freely offered? Yes, but only to those who believe in Christ will be saved. You may say, well, what does it mean to believe? I believe.
Well, I believe that Jesus died. I believe there's a heaven. I believe, maybe even go as far as saying, I believe there's a hell. What does it mean to believe? The Bible says that even the devils believe. And yet it is only those who accept Christ as the only way of salvation, not by their own good works. Only those who realize that they are guilty sinners in the sight of a holy and a just God that will obtain eternal life. Only those who in repentance turn from their sins and trust the work of Christ to save them. Many people today, they say that they are sorry for their sin. They perhaps sign a little decision card. They say, I'm sorry for my sin and that's good enough. I'm going to heaven. I'm sure if you went into Magabri prison tonight, there are many prisoners and they'll say that they're sorry for what they've done. And yet if they were released in the morning, they'll go back and do the same thing again. Oh, they're sorry. They're sorry they got found out. They're sorry they got caught. But their ways have not changed. But friend, tonight, you need to repent of your sin. You need to turn from it. You need to realize that you are a sinner. You need to turn to Christ. Repentance is realizing one's sinfulness and turning completely around and going in the opposite direction, away from sin. I want to ask you tonight, have you ever turned from your sin? Have you ever put your trust in Christ for salvation? Or perhaps you've signed a wee card, but have you ever trusted Christ? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 writes that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I wonder, have you confessed to Christ? Have you admitted that you're a sinner? Have you turned to him for salvation? I believe this day that these two men realized that this was no ordinary man or prophet. And so they followed the Lord. And the Lord bid them, come and see. Well, this was a call of invitation. We read that they came and that they abode with him that day. And I believe that from that day, they abode with him for the remainder of his life, and yea, even for all eternity. For that day, as they followed Christ, as they came and saw, they accepted Christ as the promised Messiah, as Lord of their lives, and as Savior from their sins, as they listened to his word. Do we not read this in verse 41? For we see there the testimony of Andrew. And it says that he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ. Well, that day these two men came to Christ for salvation. The Lord said unto Zacchaeus, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And was that not the case with these two men, Andrew and his friend? As the Lord ministered on this earth, he bid men and women and boys and girls to come and see. And the invitation tonight is still the same. The invitation of the gospel is come and see. Well, you say, preacher, you don't know my circumstances. Friend, tonight, whatever your circumstances may be, the invitation is still the same. Come and see. Friend, tonight it is an invitation for you. Whether young or old, the Lord calls all to come unto him. It is an invitation to the young, no matter how young you are here tonight. For Mark chapter 10 and verse 14, we see the Lord rebuked the disciples. And he says, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. My friend, tonight, are you burdened down with the weariness of life? And it is an invitation for you. For the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
It is an invitation for the hungry. Oh, is there something in your life? There's no satisfaction. The Lord says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. Are you desiring for something to fill the void? The Lord says that whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be a well in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Friend, tonight, have you concerns? Have you worries? Have you fears about what lies ahead, perhaps even this week? Then it is an invitation for you as one who is concerned. For the psalmist writes, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Peter tells us to cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. He careth for us. It is an invitation to the lost and to the lonely and to the hurting. Friend, tonight, do you fall into that category? Is your heart breaking? Are you struggling with life? The prophet writes in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. And I will bind up that which was broken. And I will strengthen that which was sick. And friend, tonight, whatever your circumstances are, the invitation is for you. In this place, around where you sit, there are many believers from varied and different backgrounds, all who had all sorts of problems. And yet, they all have one thing in common. Each one came and saw. Came and saw that the Lord was good. Came and saw that the Lord could give them rest and peace and happiness. Our brother Andrew reminded us this morning that one day, if we're trusting in Christ, we shall go to be with him. There we shall see and share in the glory of our Lord. Well, what more could one want? There's also a call to separation for those who would believe. To separate from that which is contrary to God's word. Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians, tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I wonder tonight, perhaps you say you're a Christian. Have old things passed away? Are all things become new? And it is a call to service to every believer. Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. The Lord does not promise an easy and a trouble-free life for those who follow him. We do not preach some health, wealth, and prosperity gospel tonight. But we do preach of one who will take us through every situation, who will lead us and guide us and direct us by his hand. The Lord told his disciples to take up their cross and follow him, to deny themselves. Well, that's not a promise of an easy life. But the Lord did promise that he would send a comforter, blessed Holy Spirit, to dwell with each believer, to comfort and to help. Friend, tonight, in time of trouble, do you know the comfort of the Lord? Or did you try and get through on your own? But also, we have to note that there is a call of warning. John 3 and 18 tells us that he that believeth not on him, that he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And friend, tonight, there is a call of invitation in our passage. Come and see. There is also a call of warning, for if you reject the call of invitation, then God's word tells us, yea, assures us, that his Spirit will not always strive with man. Well, tonight, friend, what if this was your last opportunity to hear the gospel? What if this was your last opportunity to hear the good news that Christ can save your sinful soul? The Lord said in John chapter 8 and verse 21, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Revelation 20 and verse 15 reminds us that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And friend, tonight hell is a real place. And the warning of hell rings loud and clear from this book. And friend, tonight, if you go out from this place in your sin, then you're walking a very dangerous line. Oh, you say, preacher, hell's not real. Oh, hell's only a figment of the imagination. Hell's only something that the preacher will use to scare me. And yet you tell me that one day you're going to be in heaven. My friend, go home and read the scriptures. And you will find in the scriptures that you will read of heaven and hell. And if we take hell out of the Bible, then we must take heaven out of the Bible. But friend, hell is a real place. Hell is a place of separation. Tonight, the invitation says, come and see. Well, tonight, will you reject God's invitation? Will you reject God's offer of mercy? Well, tonight, my friend, I plead with you, come and see. Ere it be too late, no matter what your need is, Christ is the answer to your every problem. Only he can forgive you from your sin. Only he can save your soul from eternal punishment of hell. Only he can give you the joy of sins forgiven. Only he can give you a peace in your heart, as our brother talked about this morning. No matter what storms may come your way, only he can give you the assurance of salvation and the peace and joy of life everlasting. Friends, tonight, Sandown Road, we know not what a day may bring forth. Our life is as a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. And yet the call of Christ is still the same. What seek ye? And the invitation has not changed. Friend, tonight, whatever you seek, come and see. Behold the Lamb of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. For blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen.